The Healthy Alabama podcast is sponsored by Enroll Alabama, a program that enrolls Alabamians in the health insurance marketplace.
Welcome to another episode of the Healthy Alabama podcast, sponsored by Enroll Alabama and produced in partnership with Praise 90.1 FM WJOU in Huntsville, Alabama. I am very glad to have with me today on the phone Dr. Pernessa Steele. If you're thinking you've heard that name before, well, you probably have. Dr. Steele has been working courageously at the front lines of HIV, AIDS prevention for years. Really, I would say bridging the gap between the church and the HIV, AIDS prevention community. And so that's why many of us know her. And then through her nonprofit, Bomb in Gilead, Inc., she has also developed the Healthy Churches 2020 conference, helping to get religious communities more in tune with being healthy. Dr. Steele, thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me. We are so excited about coming back to Alabama. You know, one of the first HIV conferences we did back in the 90s was the Black Church HIV Institute. And we did that at Tuskegee back in the 90s. So we are excited to be bringing Healthy Churches 2020 National Conference to Alabama. This is our fifth year, our fifth annual, and we are excited about going down there to Point Clear, Alabama. And the lineup is just getting better and better every single day.
Yeah, and this is let's just go ahead and tell folks right off the top. This is November the 13th through the 15th, I believe. Is that right? Do I have the dates
right? November 13th through the 16th.
Oh, 16th. Okay, okay.
Mm-hmm. November 13th through the 16th, and we start on that Tuesday. We have free continuing education credits when you register. It's just a great time, and the purpose of this conference, this is the only conference of its kind where we bring public health and faith leaders together. Now, faith leaders, you know, not just the 17 bishops that come and the 100 pastors that come, but also the missionaries, also the youth leaders, the people who work in the kitchen. It's all about making sure that we have people in our congregation who has knowledge and resources that can be that person who is the point person for health issues in their congregation and in community. Because we know we have so much heart disease, so much cancer, so much lupus, so much arthritis. We have so much of everything. So we want to make sure that every church has someone in that congregation, in addition to the pastor, because we can't have a healthy church until we have a healthy pastor. You right. know, we have someone who is that person who has resources and who are connected to resources outside of the church, because we got to get the church healthy.
All right. So, Dr. Steele, let's start at the top. You've transitioned, or I won't say transitioned, but you have added to your portfolio this very important focus on the general health and well-being of African Americans, especially those who are in the churches. What was the impetus for this new venture of yours?
Well, you know, as you said, we are moving into our 30th year. The Bomb in Gilead is getting ready to be 30 years old. Who knew? And having worked in HIV in 2005, we branched out and started doing other health disparities like cervical cancer, and now we have a diabetes initiative, in matter of fact, in Alabama, and as well as five states, Alabama being one of them. We have an Alzheimer's education initiative, and so we've just grown. We've taken what we learned with HIV and, you know, and really began to help build the capacity of our congregations to address all the ills in our churches. So having done that about 5 years ago, we looked at how can we cannot continue to be on the road all the time, even though we still are. You know, we helped over 1,000 churches develop health ministries. How do we bring these health ministries together, and how do we also support churches who don't have a health ministry? How do we bring them to a place where we strengthen those who have health ministries and we help those who don't to get a health ministry? Because I believe when you look at the dire situation of health in our community, every church needs to have a health ministry, just like every church has a youth ministry. So 5 years ago, we said, you know what, let's come up with a national gathering. And let's do it at a time of year when most of our churches, you know, and it's, you know, it, we always hit up hitting up against something, because I know that the Alabama Missionary Baptist Convention, one of their segments are going on the same week. But we work with all denominations, can come and be there. And we also bring, like our keynote speaker this year is Dr. Valerie Rice, who is the president of Morehouse School of Medicine, the dean of School of Public Health at Trulia University in New Orleans. We bring the best of the best of public health to our conference. We also, you know, bring the Diabetes Association, the Cancer Association, all of these organizations that have health initiatives that want to work with the church but don't know how to work with the church. So this is the place where we want our churches to come to get information on all kinds of diseases that are struggling in our people are struggling in our congregation and community, but also build relationships and get resources to do that work for the church. Because we find that, you know, there's a lot of money out for faith-based programs, mm-hmm. but the people who have the money don't know where the churches are, and the churches are not equipped to get the money. So in addition to doing education around health stuff, we also do, how do you write a grant? How do you write a grant? How do you get a 501c3 and write a grant for a health initiative? If you have a health initiative, how do you evaluate your program? Because sometimes we may get a little $5,000, but we lose it because we don't know how to evaluate what we've done.
Sure.
So we look at this conference as a holistic conference where we're helping churches, where we're meeting them wherever they are. If they don't have a health ministry, we want to help them get one. If they just do a health fair every year, we want them to do a better health fair.
Okay.
So that's what the conference is all about.
Okay. So what I wonder though is what really got you started on this journey? Was it what opened your eyes to this larger vision? Was it a personal health crisis, or was there something that you saw in particular in a church or maybe in the community outside of the church?
Well, you know, with HIV affects everybody. And in working in that space, it was also when we're coming to churches and talking about HIV, and, you know, we continue to have great success there. But I also noticed that we weren't addressing, we weren't addressing diabetes. And there was more diabetes in the congregation than there was HIV. And oftentimes I saw from looking on the outside that we were really, you know, diseases were becoming competitive. Who was going to get who in the congregation? You know what I mean? And I don't think it should be that way, because we, you know, our congregations, we have all kinds of ills that need to be addressed in our congregations. You know, HIV is now a chronic disease, just like diabetes, just like cardiovascular disease, just like lupus, just like, you know, all of the ills that we struggle with, breast cancer. So I looked at, you know, let's create a vehicle where the church can get information on all of these things. I've been in church when someone died. You know, someone died in my church while singing in the choir. And no one could do anything because no one knew how to give CPA.
Okay.
You know, CPR, I'm sorry.
Yeah, CPR.
CPR. Mm-hmm. You know, and oftentimes, you know, somebody could have lived if somebody in the church knew CPR. So one of the things we do at the conference is what? Teaching people how to do simple CPR. You know, you know, so just looking from the totality lens of what's going on with health in our community, the Alzheimer's, you know, everybody is affected with Alzheimer's one way or the other. Mm-hmm. Caregiving. You know, caregiving is a major conversation in our communities now. There are many resources for it, and I think that the church should have access to those resources.
Sure.
So this conference is a place where you come to get connected so that you can help the people in your congregation and community you serve.
So I wonder about this, Dr. Steele. It seems as though, when you look at the Black church, and you've already sort of touched on this, so I'm restating it to ask you a question. We have an abundance not only of people who are dealing with health problems, but of people who, if you just look at them visually, to be honest with you, they don't appear to be healthy. You know, obesity is rampant, I think, from what I've seen. And that's just one indicator, you know, of health issues. I mean, what do we attribute this to? Do you think this is a cultural thing, or do you think it's a diet thing? What have you found as you've looked at this issue?
I think it's all of the above, you know. Certainly, you know, it's environment. Certainly, you know, many of us live in rural areas where, you know, we don't have fresh fruits and vegetables. You know, all of us are not able to go to Whole Foods. Like someone says, Whole Foods, whole paycheck. we don't have access to good foods. I think that's one. Number two is, I think that we don't have the education. You know, we are still eating the same old way that we've always ate. And, you know, and that is, for some of us, is whatever we can get. Poverty is real in our communities. You know, poverty is real. And when we look at, you know, sometimes, you know, the only good meal our children get is when they go to school. And we have to fight for school-based food programs. That's real. Poverty is real in our community.
Yes.
And when you are stricken with poverty, you know, it's not about what I'm eating. It's about, Lord, thank you for I'm eating something.
Right.
And then there is the cultural piece. You know, I suffer from obesity. I've been obese all of my life, growing up in Lincolnville, South Carolina. And I have access to good foods. And, you know, and I have access to information. And I have access to exercise, you know. But I'm a perfect study for myself and others. And it is the cultural piece that keeps me stuck. You know, because we are, I visited my family in North Carolina a couple of weeks ago. And I paid attention to what we talked about. And the entire conversation was talked about food and our ancestors, because we are now I'm now one of the elders in my family. But so the few of us who are still living are talking about our mothers and our uncles and our those who have gone on, and we honor them based on what they cooked. You know what I mean? Based on the good biscuits and all that butter before they went into the tobacco field. You know what I mean? And we used to have a smokehouse in the back before we went to the cotton field. And what we used to take for lunch and tie it around the tree at night, so that when it was time for lunch, while you were in the fields picking tomatoes, your lunch was already in the field, because you had to take the lunch at night to tie it on a tree so you would have it there. You know, all of these things are in our DNA. And science is showing that, you know, is our DNA is also impacted by our environment and how we have lived. Those things, those cultural things, are passed on. You know what I mean? And I just paid attention while visiting on the joy, just the joy we got from just talking about how we, what we ate and what we ate then and how we're still trying to eat that way. So it's a holistic approach when we are changing our cultural behavior. It's access, it's education, and it's also how do we move beyond those ancestral cultural traditions that will help us to change our behaviors.
Yeah, I think that's excellent, excellent analysis, Dr. Steele. What do you think about veganism?
I think it's a good thing. Mm-hmm. I think it's a good. I have not eaten red meat since, and veganism. You know, that's a little bit more than not eating red meat.
Right.
But I haven't eaten red meat since 1981, and I do believe that it has really saved my life. Mm-hmm. You know, even though I am obese and constantly struggling with my weight. You know, I don't have high blood pressure. I don't have diabetes. I don't have all of the issues that people think I may have because I have a weight problem, which I'm always struggling with. And I attribute that to a better diet. I don't have a perfect diet, mm-hmm. but I think eliminating red meat from my diet over 20 years ago was very important to me. And I think, you know, the more we understand about meat and processing, mm-hmm. And how the meat, how the food industry is compromised in this country, the more of us should be moving toward veganism and vegetarianism.
Yes,
and
yes.
Going back to the fields.
Yes, yeah, I think you're exactly right. I've been a vegetarian for nearly 40 years, and I've been a vegan for probably about. I'm just taking a guess here, probably about 20 years, give or take. And I got to tell you that it's a lot easier these days to be vegan than it's ever been. But I think a lot of our people, I'm talking about black folks and black folks who go to church. I think a lot of us still don't realize that you can be vegan and the food can be just as tasty and just as appetizing as food that is not vegan or is not even vegetarian. You know, there've been so many advances now, and you've even got, you know, people out there who, you know, talk about being soul food vegans and that kind of thing. Have you heard of that? Have you talked to any folks like that?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, you have Donna Green Goodman right there in Huntsville, Alabama.
Yeah, that's my sister. Yeah.
He puts a recipe in the Balm and Gilead newsletter every single month. And yes, I know a lot of vegan sisters and brothers. And like I said, for 8 years, I was straight vegetarian myself, and I started working with these churches and went back to eating chicken. The gospel bird got a hold of me, but I did not go back to red meat, and I'm constantly eliminating chicken out of my diet. You know what I mean? I would eliminate chicken maybe 3 weeks and eat chicken 1 week out of the month. I'm an organic fanatic too. I eat a lot of organic food. So
oh, good.
I think you're right. That being a vegan is very easier now because there's so many things on the market, but it goes back to education. The majority of us, do not know what the word vegan means, you know, and it's hard to understand that you can really live healthy on, you know, with no meat, you know, people would say, I got to have me some meat. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Because it's all that they've ever known. You know, I have family members, they will open up a can of string beans and put a piece of pork in the can of string beans.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. You know, mm. I've never seen anything like it in my life.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, whatever can they are opening up, first, I don't eat canned food, but whatever can they're opening up, they're going to put a piece of pork in it to season it.
Yes.
You know, and to tell them not to do that it's like it's a struggle. And going back to the conference, that's why we have people like Donna Green Goodman, who is a part of our national conversation. And we have this year, we have celebrity chef Carl Neff coming to us, who really is teaching teaching us how to have a soul food a flavor better diet. You know, so I think it's just a matter of us getting information and allowing ourselves to try something new. Just try it. Just try it. Mm-hmm. I have not had pork or smoked turkey wings, nothing, in my collard greens in over 20 years.
Wow.
And I don't miss it. I don't miss it. I love my collard greens and no meat. Love it. Mm-hmm. And my family have come to, hey, Aunt P, where's the collard greens? Because they have come to enjoy my collard greens that doesn't have any meat in it.
How about that?
So I think that we have to open ourselves up to change. That's the first thing. Mm-hmm. Because some of us, we're not open to change, you know. We have to get open to change. And once we open up to change, then change is able to happen.
Those are great words, Dr. Steele. We're talking today on the Healthy Alabama podcast with Dr. Pranessa Steele. She is the founder of the wonderful organization Balm and Gilead, which has been on the front lines of the HIV/AIDS education prevention battle. She's been on those front lines for several decades now, and she has expanded her portfolio and now is also actively engaged in trying to help churches and black folks in churches specifically to be healthier people. So before we get out of here, Dr. Steele, I want to ask you a few questions about what your strategy is as it relates to dealing with pastors. You know, since you've got to convince the shepherd to do right in terms of diet and health, you know, in order to help the church to do right and to get that message to penetrate the church, what's your strategy in introducing these ideas and concepts to pastors?
Well, you know, the strategy is the same. There are many, many church pastors who want their congregations to be healthy, but they themselves have to open up to change, you know, and we're seeing more and more pastors who are saying, yes, my church has a health ministry. I want to have a health ministry. We have more and more pastors who struggle with their own health conditions. And therefore, oftentimes, that's the catalyst for change when the pastor wants to get him or herself healthy. So, you know, it's a constant talking to pastors and saying, Pastor, you know, we want to be your partner in your ministry. We want to be your partnering arm to get the church healthy. And I thank God for so many pastors and bishops and presiding elders across this country, the Baptists, the Methodists, the whosoever wills, who are joining the Balm and Gilead every day and saying, I understand, yes, we do. We must get healthy, and they understand the role of the black church, because the black church is still the only institution that we have that can make a difference in the lives and souls of individuals. So, you know, it's the same message of inviting pastors in to partner and to help the pastor. We have a pastors-only session at the conference that's happening November 13th through the 16th, just for pastors and ministers only, where they get to come into the room and talk about their issues, not just their physical health, but their emotional health, their spiritual health, the work that they are called to do as pastor. And I think that is one of the most important sessions at the conference, where pastors come together to address their ills. You know, we have so many pastors now who are committing suicide. I mean, suicide among black pastors are becoming an epidemic. Mm. Who would have ever thought? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So we've cre- created a space at the conference where pastors can talk to pastors, and we bring in some of the greatest facilitators who can come and share, because we have to work on getting the pastor healthy in order to have a healthy church.
Yes, yes. Wow.
And I'm hoping that those who are listening, that they will, you know, just go to our website, mm-hmm. and that's healthychurches2020conference.org. We have a special discount for Alabama. You know, we're giving a $75 discount off of for people in Alabama to come to this conference, because the people outside, in the people in the United States are coming. People come from Oregon, they come from Washington State, they come from New York, they come from Chicago. But it will not be right for me if we bring this national conference to Alabama and Alabama churches don't come. So we have a discount code, and that discount code is HC, H for healthy, C for church, AL for Alabama, AL18. That's HCAL18. And when you go to register, if you will put that promo code, you will get a 75 discount off of your registration. Alabama, I'm really hoping that you will come to this conference, because we don't want to come and bring all of this great information to the state and you not be there to get it.
All right.
So we want you to register right now.
All right. Well, Dr. Steele, I could really talk to you for another 30 minutes, but I know you're on a tight schedule, so I'm going to let you go. But I want to thank you very much for joining us for the Healthy Alabama podcast today, and hopefully we will see you down at Point Clear in November.
All right. Thank you so much.
Well, that wraps up our podcast episode for today. I'm David Person, host and producer of the Healthy Alabama podcast, which is sponsored by Enroll Alabama. Our theme music was produced by my man DJ Bailey, and we produced this podcast in partnership with WJOU 90.1 FM, Oakwood University Radio in Huntsville, Alabama. Until next time, be healthy.